Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that really rips and claws and digs up whatever reason they need to find to justify what is so great about a particular topic. My name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Great. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Hit the stained. It's been a while.
It's been too long,
yeah,
in fact.
It's been 2 weeks.
And God, I tell you, I never realised how much I miss that intro until you give me it. Every time it's
I never
more,
know what I'm going to say as well.
Every time it's more exaggerated than the last.
I think that's a good bit.
I love it.
You know, we love a good bit here on the show.
It makes me laugh every time. But yeah, I've been dying to get back, to be honest with you now, Terry.
How have you been?
Very, very well.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, it's been good. Halloween was just...
How was
just
it?
Just happened. It was good. Milo was a skeleton. Joni was a ghost with glasses. I mean, it was the most basic. That's what she asked for, but it was like just literally a sheet. And then we initially put two holes for eyes and then two holes in the ears so the glasses could go on. But like, it was all over. She couldn't, so I ended up just ripping it. It was just a face.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I got nothing.
Did you get home to do trick-or-treating?
I got home a bit earlier. Yeah. I went trick-or-treating. And yeah, like it was... The difference between
didn't
then...
Didn't feel very Halloween-y this year,
no,
did it?
No, not really. Like, and like, we didn't even get a pumpkin this year.
Oh, we had a few.
You know? Oh, a few?
Yeah.
Oh, you carved that bad boy yourself?
I do not. That's for Faye and Bonnie to do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You take out the guts, you son of a bitch?
No, that's for them to do too. Oh. That's their activity. That's their like arts and crafts together.
Nice.
I just go, ooh, great pumpkin, guys. Yeah.
Did you do that? Did you go trick-or-treating around the area?
I didn't get home to go trick-or-treating because I didn't get home till like 6:30.
Yeah.
So all the candies and stuff. And here I go, fucking candy.
Candy, I know. She says candy,
you know,
too.
All the sweets.
I know.
Were all gotten by the time I got back. So I just got home and we ordered a costume for me and Faye, like a witch for her and a pirate for me.
Nice.
And like Faye was like, can you get into the costume when you get home and dance around with Bonnie just for a bit or whatever? So we did that. I got into my pirate costume for like an hour before bed and stuff like that, which was nice. But yeah, it was kind of like Bonnie had on the Friday before, she had like a Halloween party in school. She was a bat.
Oh,
and
nice.
She's a bat both days. So the reason she wanted to be a spider, so we got her a spider costume and then she switched it up. So she was a bat and she had a great time and lots of sweets. And then apparently the first thing yesterday morning after I went to work, because she like slept on so I didn't see her.
Yeah.
First thing she said was, where's my trick-or-treat stuff?
Yeah. Give me the candy.
Yeah.
I find with stuff like that it's like... I'm just so, like, I don't know if it's the curmudgeon in me, but, like, when something like Halloween is done and it's a success, I'm like, right, well, that's that done.
Yeah.
You know, like, good. That's, you know,
well,
like...
Well, it's also, like, that feeling of, it was a success.
Yes, if it's done well.
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
Mission accomplished.
Kids were happy. I was like, that was good, wasn't it? And her cousins were going to come over on the day, but it was raining, so they came over yesterday. They had a little bonfire. They were doing this thing where they would write a wish... We have a little fire pit.
Got like an embalmed hand. And That's a vague and oblique reference to the fact that we will be reviewing the new A24 horror movie, Talk to Me.
Was it an A24 movie?
Sure was.
I didn't see that in the opening.
Tell you why. Because A24 had the American distribution rights and then whatever. Like, that's how we got it so early.
Oh.
Because it only just was released in Australia on DVD/Blu-ray on the 25th of October.
Oh, wow.
So because, like, if that was a pure American, we wouldn't have got it for ages.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, now it makes so much sense. It does have the stench of A24.
Wait till we get into the boif, let me tell you.
apart from that, I tell you what. You know what? I don't mean to put you on blast, Terry, but I want to ask you how your driving's going.
Not...
you haven't been in the car in weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
I want you to learn how to drive.
Yeah.
So you can come to Arklow and we can go to
the movies. You're supposed to take me out for lessons.
I'll do it, but
yeah,
you know,
okay. Fine, okay. Next week.
Okay, well, I'm busy.
Busy.
But yeah, because I do want to start going to the movies with you, Terry.
Well, why didn't you come collect me?
First of all, we were going to see Killers of the Flower Moon, which is so fine.
Look, I'll tell you, that would have been a non-runner post bedtime movie. I went to see it last night.
Oh, you did? Did you?
Yeah, I went to see it last night with my father.
Oh,
3 hours 20.
How was it?
It's really good.
Yeah,
it's really fucking good. Like.
It looks like the sort of movie I would hate, but I know it's got all the people I like in it. But when I see the trailer, I'm like, if this didn't have the words Scorsese, De Niro, and DiCaprio involved, I'd be like, no thanks.
Yeah, like...
Like, is it one of those?
It's not Goodfellas. It's not Wolf of Wall Street. It's not, like, Propulsive, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's more...
Breathes, does it?
It's closer to The Irishman in that, like...
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's that little bit slower paced or whatever.
Is there any mob links at all?
No. Like, you get a better De Niro in this one than you do in The Irishman.
Okay, yeah. Wouldn't be hard.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You like The Irishman.
I do like The
Irishman. Quite a bit. Like,
I just... You know what? I feel like the de-aging stuff has aged like 3D TVs.
Yeah.
Where it was all the rage. And now...
One in particular. Because, you know, I started to watch a bit of it again now on the commute today.
The Irishman?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And Joe Pesci's de-aging actually looks really good.
Yeah.
The Al Pacino one is... pretty good.
I didn't really notice it with Al Pacino. Yeah.
The De Niro one, you're like, holy fuck.
Yeah, sorry?
He's like,
who's that?
Hey, kid. It's like this 50-year-old man. Like, I don't know how to fix my truck. but you're going to...
You know what took me right out of it was that scene where he's beating up the guy outside.
It's the worst scene in the movie.
I'm like, how can they leave that in? Like just put 20, his face.
20 takes.
that was the best one.
Here's what you don't have in Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
You don't have Pacino going bug nuts. You don't have him...
bug nuts.
You don't have him saying, they wouldn't dare. They wouldn't dare.
Who else is in it? Anyone else that I'd like?
Yeah, there's a bunch. Jesse Plemons.
Oh yeah.
He's good in it. Everyone Brendan Fraser.
Okay.
Well, Brendan Fraser is in it for like 5 minutes in the last half an hour.
Yeah.
And he talk about going bug nuts.
Oh, yeah?
He literally like explodes like out of his chair.
Figuratively.
People are like, figuratively. People are like, oh, his performance kind of like is off kilter. And like, I was pissing myself. I mean, that's what they're going for. He's going for like a real... He's a lawyer.
Right.
Like a real over the top.
Is like, he Southern by any chance?
No, it is. Okay. It's Oklahoma. What the movie does great is it shows you how shitty America is. What a horrible place.
Is this modern, present day?
No, it's like 1920s.
Okay.
And I didn't realize this. Like, it has a little thing at the start where it's like the Osage, who are like the Indians... they become the richest nation or type of person per capita in the world because they have a small amount of people there, but the amount of wealth they amass from the oil that is on their land. That's the whole crux of the movie. And basically Robert De Niro is like, I'm a friend of the Osage. I'm this kindly old man that is organizing to screw them out of everything.
Right.
Like, their time has passed. This money belongs to us now.
Is it De Niro's best role in...
In ages, yeah.
In ages?
Yeah, like, you could see him being nominated for an Oscar for it. He is so, like... You're like, he's a snake. He's a fucking... like, when you see, you're like, this grime off him.
But do you not find that if you go to a movie like that, that's maybe 2.5 hours in, and you're not like... Are you ever watching a movie like that thinking like, how long is left in this?
Like, I would, like, I checked my watch, but I wasn't like,
yeah,
oh my
shit,
god, yeah. I was like, what time is it now? I was like, oh right, so we still have an hour left.
Like, would you be thinking, I guess it depends on the movie, but would you be thinking like, oh grand, an hour left? Or would you be thinking, fuck, an hour left?
No, definitely closer to the first.
I already know the answer.
Well, a movie of this caliber, is that like this well made?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not my favourite Scorsese. I'm delighted I saw it on the big screen because it looks brilliant. Some of the, like, there's just some shots of like land and like hundreds of cows, like an aerial shot, and you're like, wow, like they got all those cows and put them in a place, and then
so they painted a bunch of horses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they don't look like cows on tape. Like, I don't know, they do a great job of like this beautiful land that's there, and then slowly, like, there's a couple of scenes I was like, what's going on here? Like, who are all these people? And then, like, that's the point. All these white people have come and, like, infiltrated the land and eroded the culture, the Osage culture.
Interesting.
It's very, very good.
Ranking or rating? What did you give it on Letterboxd?
I gave it 4.5 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
Okay. Man, this son of a bitch.
Yeah. I could have went 5. I think maybe the length. You could probably trim.
An hour and a half.
So 2 hours. No, it needs to be like 2:45.
If you can't tell the story, and don't, it's far be it for me to tell Marty how to do his job, but I feel like if you can tell a story, you can tell a story in 2 hours.
You can tell a story.
And it be just as good, if not better.
You couldn't tell Goodfellas. You couldn't tell Goodfellas in 2 hours. Wolf of Wall Street, 2 hours. Casino, 2 hours.
Yeah.
No.
Those two. Goodfellas, no. But I think you could have told Wolf of Wall Street in 2 hours. Realistically, like, you know what I mean?
I don't know. There's so much there. And I'd like, what would you cut out Wolf of Wall Street like?
There's a bit towards the middle slash end that you could probably either chop out or...
Name it.
The whole, like, the boat crashing and
no,
stuff.
No, that's
like,
so great. Like, what are you talking about? It's so amazing.
Yeah,
it's whole
good.
Scene.
It was good.
Yeah,
like, I love the movie. Yeah. I wouldn't want to, you know.
If anything, you need to add on more.
Having said that, I am about 8 hours deep into something that I've been watching.
Hit me.
I don't know what it's called. The new thing on Netflix.
House of Usher?
No. No, 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 no. The
Bodies?
No, it's a documentary.
Oh, Richard Attenborough.
The Thing. Morgan Freeman.
Oh, yeah.
Life on Our Planet or something like that. Fucking brilliant, Terry. Fucking brilliant.
You couldn't pay me.
Isn't that weird?
It is so weird. Like, you'll sit and watch Planet Earth for
hours on
and it. I'll like watch two episodes. I'm like, it's enough. Like... All right, I get it. See, and it goes majestic.
It goes, yeah, but this is different because it's like, it's definitely, it's got some old footage that you've seen on like Planet Earth and stuff like that. It's got Morgan Freeman, which, to be honest, he takes some liberties in his pronunciations of certain things. He calls a Diplodocus a Diplodocus, first of all. He called Asia, Asia. You know, he just doesn't give a shit.
I'm Morgan Freeman.
But he kind of had like, you know, they do, it's good to see how things, because... I have a few blind spots in my whole theory of evolution. I mean, I believe in it, obviously, but in specifically, okay, how did that turn into that? And what happened between that and that and all this sort of stuff? So this kind of pieces it together. It's very, very interesting. Here's an interesting fact for you, Terry. There is a greater distance in time between Stegosaurus and a T-Rex as there is between us and a T-Rex, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
So there was longer time between those two. Isn't that interesting?
So Stegosaurus and T-Rex were never around together at the same time?
T-Rex is the Jurassic period, Terry.
And you know, there's the Cretaceous?
I don't know, some fucking thing. Triassic, I don't know what. Really? And then there's like loads of time, millions of years where there's just nothing. And it just explains... anyway, I'm not going to do it any justice.
Spielberg sold me a bill of goods with that movie.
The amount of times I've made the joke when we were watching that, I'm like... We have a T-Rex. You know? It's gotten a laugh 0 times, but I keep doing it.
Do you laugh?
I laugh at myself. Yeah,
there you go. Gotta entertain yourself.
But you know what else I saw? Do you remember I was saying to you a few months ago that I was approached by RTE?
Yes.
For that YouTube thing.
Yeah. The rugby thing.
Yeah. Now, I was curious. I was like, what did they do?
Who did they get to replace
they
you?
Got the female me, of course. Your one who does the lip syncs. Kaylee Trapp.
Of course.
But you know what? I looked at it and I was like, I made the right decision.
Really,
I'll say that. Although it seemed a bit different, like, because like, she was kind of like one of the team or something like that. But
she's like, I'm not doing this unless like, I'm on the team.
Three separate... I was thinking, like, did I really miss something there? And I looked at it as like, 100 views on each three separate episodes or whatever. 100 views. I was like,
yeah.
So that was kind of it's not that I was happy to see it fail.
I'd say you're happy at the moment watching my team fail, and I want to talk about it.
Yeah, you know what? Let me ask you a question.
Yeah,
as a Uniteds man.
Yeah,
is this the lowest Or is this not even scratching the surface?
This isn't the lowest.
But it's a low.
It's a bad... quote Henry Hill, this is the bad time.
What do you think... Let me ask you this question. Would you take the captaincy off Fernandez? Surely. He's not captain material.
No, but there's nobody else who is. And the two other people who were approached... Rashford, I'm looking in your direction. And I don't know who the other... Solskjaer said before he left... He offered it to two people. They turned it down.
Right.
I mean, that sums up a lot of that squad, you know?
Would you be interested if someone
in taking
said...
over? Yeah.
Would you be interested in a complete overhaul? Is there anyone on that squad that you'd be like...
There's a few. Shaw, Martinez,
keep the defence, basically.
That hasn't played at all this year. You know, we had the best defense in the league last year. We conceded the least amount of goals, and we haven't played them together once this year. And quel surprise, we are leaking goals for fun.
My God, it's so bad.
I'd keep Rashford. I'd keep Hoyland.
Would you keep Rashford? Yeah.
Yeah, I would keep him, but I wouldn't. Why? He wouldn't be my why? He wouldn't be my main guy. I'd have to depend on him so much.
He bugs the shit, you know. And it's not even just because he's a United player. Because generally he's, you know what, I used to think he was likable. I don't really think he's that likable anymore.
Why don't you?
I don't know. Why? I actually don't know.
He's cutting a frustrated picture on the pitch. So you're like he's an arsehole.
You know, maybe that's his subconscious.
I'd keep Fernandez as well.
Would you though? Yeah. Surely he's not captain material. Though. Yeah, but he's not a captain.
There's nobody else who is
I would look if I was you.
Who would you have as captain? And don't say Maguire.
I was going to say Maguire.
He was the captain, and he was not captain material. He was terrible.
Yeah, someone took it off him though, right?
Ten Hag, because he was terrible.
I think Maguire certainly less talented than Fernandez, but I would.
But if he's not going to play, that's what it was last year. He was the captain last year, and he never played. So Fernandez was the captain.
Give it to Varane or Casemiro or something.
Yeah. They're not long for this team. Though,
yeah, exactly. But that's how bad of a situation.
You know what fucking bugs me? It's like spend under Ten Hag is like 400 million, and I'm like, any other club run any like halfway decent. It's like Anthony, 45 million at most. Like 82. I know. United pay. You can't blame the manager for saying
for the United premium.
He's like, I want this player. Go get me this player.
Yeah.
And then the person whose job to go get the player is
pushing all the money onto the table. Is that enough?
He's like, no. How about this? Okay, fine. He has no money left. We may as well take what he has. Like, I only brought these two briefcases. Can you take these?
That'll cover
it. Van der Sar's like, sure.
Anthony, though, that's a real... surely he frustrates the shit out of
him. The whole team frustrates me. Because if you look before the season, they were doing a thing. It was like the big managers in the Premier League, after one season played, say it was 38 games.
Yeah.
The win percentage...
It was high, wasn't it?
It was second under Guardiola. Ahead of Klopp, ahead of Pochettino.
Yeah.
Ahead of, Conte, whatever. Like, ahead of Arteta. Yeah. And now it's like, and people are like, what kind of... Here's the one who fucking bugged me the most.
Who?
Carragher.
Oh, yeah?
He's letting himself down. What style does he have?
I thought that was a great point he was making.
What style did he have last year? Play out from the back, press from the front. And he hasn't been able to do it this year because he doesn't have the players fit. That team he played against Man City, Lindelof, Evans, who's 35 on a free transfer, wasn't even supposed to be playing this year. He was signed to get him fitness for the summer with Maguire and Diogo Dalot, right? Yeah. Compared to last year, it was Shaw, Martinez, Varane, Dalot, or Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah.
Four players there that can instantly move the ball forward, get out from midfield, or get it into midfield. These guys can't string two passes. They're proper full-blooded defenders. Three of them are anyway.
Yeah. And not forward-thinking at all. They're just... No. Yeah.
But like that question, I'm like, what? So are you just writing off everything he did last year? That like, you've seen it. You sat on so many of the matches and it's just like, that doesn't exist anymore. It's been crap this year. What kind of style does he have? They have no identity. It's like, they have the identity. They're just not doing it at the moment.
You say they've lost their identity?
Yeah, kind of. But like, to question like his tactics or to question what way he wants to play is stupid. It's lazy journalism. Like,
I would say that out of everyone that you could keep, he would. I certainly wouldn't sack him or anything like that and all this.
Who
sort
you
of
get,
stuff.
Like?
Yeah, exactly. And you just throw someone else into the shit mixer.
Exactly. Like. I would put it, remember, so like Liverpool have had a couple of bad years.
Yeah.
And Klopp was in charge in those bad years.
Yeah.
Like last year is one of them.
Yeah.
There was a year where it might have been the second COVID year or whatever.
Yeah.
Where like you got top four, but for majority of the season.
Those were we lost like seven home games.
Yeah, exactly.
In a row
like
or
it was like, do you sack Jurgen Klopp? No, you don't. But like, nobody seems to be able to like wrap their head around that. Like, to be honest, I think this year you write it off because the sale still hasn't gone through. It's not gonna go through. But like the 25% thing, the operations is a fucking sham. You've had no less than four off-field controversies.
I mean,
like
some of them, you know, are just. You know, the one that made me laugh out loud when I was reading it was like, he was right in the middle of the shit, and then it was like, Man United apologised for employing known paedophile. Yeah. I was like, oh, fuck off.
Ten Hag is sitting there like, what the fuck? You know, like, it's just, it's not going to be a year that we get it done.
Yeah.
This year is now.
Damage control.
Yeah, really is. Get the Glazers out of controlling the football operations.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, if you get Ratcliffe in with his 25%, and he finally brings in a sporting director, and maybe then when Ten Hag says, I want this player, and they're like, well, not this guy, but what about this guy? Can he fit your mold? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know, Richard Arnold's like, I have a veto. I never use my veto, but I have a veto.
Right.
So like that, like the whole thing is Ten Hag has a veto and Richard Arnold has a veto, and it's like, or Murtaugh, whichever one of it is. But they just seem to be like, yeah, okay, we'll get him for you. And like, you need somebody to work with your manager, I think. I think like no manager can go unchecked.
Yeah.
So you need somebody to say, well, look, I understand that type of player you want. What about this guy?
Yeah.
His stats are actually better. He'd probably be better fit. Okay, yeah. As opposed to, I want this guy. Yeah, okay, you got him. Had to pay 30 million extra though, so you know.
Yeah.
You can't have two other signings. You're like,
it just seems like they, for the since Ferguson left, really.
Yeah, that he was keeping the club. Him and Gill were keeping the club.
They keep making. They seem to just keep making the same mistakes over and over.
They don't care. The Glazers don't care. They don't really don't care.
Now here's the only thing I would say about Fergie. I didn't like Fergie when he was your manager. I actually love him now. I think he's great.
He's the best.
But one thing I will say against him. Is that, and to be fair, his age played a part in it as well. He had to go at some point.
Van Persie?
Just the whole fact that, like, I feel like he really, like, right, you're gonna roll your eyes to high heavens at this comparison with Klopp, but.
I mean, it's not, no comparison.
No, but I think Klopp was sort of saying recently that, like, you know, he felt very responsible to, like, he stayed on, he extended his contract because he felt responsible for the shit that the team was in, and he wanted to be responsible for turning it back around. And to be fair, Ferguson has done that with a few teams. But when he left, I think he very much knew that he was leaving.
He's like, I couldn't retire. If they'd won the league on the, like, Aguero.
Yeah.
If they'd won the league on goal difference.
Yeah.
Or they lost it on goal difference. But, like, if Aguero doesn't score that goal, he goes then.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was like, well, okay, next year, get me Van Persie. I'm winning one more league before I'm gone. And that's exactly what happened. Then he was like, okay. Yeah. And
I've done all I can do.
I wanted that league title and now I'm gone. You know?
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, if they were to sack him, get Fergie in for half a year. See how that goes.
Genuinely just bring him back. Like, I mean, let me ask you, you wouldn't take anyone else instead. But if, let's say, Ten Hag gets sacked tomorrow and Roy Keane.
No.
Steps into the fray.
Unless they're doing some sort of documentary that follows him around that I can like
enjoy him.
Yeah, and like enjoy while eating ice cream and crying. Then no.
Let me ask you one final thing on it. When, like, say for example, they lost at home yesterday
to
Newcastle. When you watch it now, what stage are you at? Are you bothered? Like when they lose, you're like, fuck's sake, or are you just like, yep. Sounds about right.
If I'd been watching that match yesterday, I'd say I would have been furious. Thankfully, I was in the cinema, so I didn't see it. And when I came out to a text, like, just still stand by Eric from a friend, and I was like, oh, they lost 3-0. Like, oh, right. And then I looked at the team, I'm like, I wouldn't have picked that team. I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to change things,
trying to
rotate. And then you look at the Newcastle team, and you're like, how the fuck did that Newcastle team beat, you know, on paper, a better team?
But, yeah, yeah.
They're just in the shits at the moment.
Mm.
I don't think, like, if they sack him at Christmas,
it's a huge, it'd be, I agree, it would be a huge mistake.
I'd almost be like, I think I'm done, you know? What are we doing here? Like, you know what I mean? Like
what are you this in
guy,
for?
This guy that you brought in last year is the best manager we've had in forever. He's trying to, like, change the culture in the club.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things that, like, people are holding against with, like, Sancho.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, he went out of his way last year, gave him 3 months off, special training regime, came back, apparently still was late all the time, didn't do fucking anything on the pitch.
This fucking guy.
Didn't do anything on the pitch, and then, like, for him to just say, he wasn't in the squad because it wasn't up to what he did during the week was. And then it was like this whole, like, him posting online, I'm like, you fuck off, like.
What? You want him gone, Sancho?
Yeah, I do want him gone. He's done nothing for it. 72 million of nothing.
Yeah, has really.
Fucking sell him.
Scored that goal against Liverpool, the prick, and that was about it.
That's the only good thing he's done. It really is the only good thing he's done. Like.
Bastards. It can be very. I mean, I was like that last year. Like, we're on the up this year.
Like,
and it's fun to watch. You know.
I did not envision the midfield that you got in clicking so quickly. You know what I mean?
I'm
like, there's the clip going around of Gary Neville where, like,
he's like,
oh, I think, you know, you look at United's midfield, he's got Mount, he's got Eriksen, he's got Casemiro, he's got Bruno. It's like, I think Klopp would take that over his, and at the time
he probably would have.
And then he brought in Szoboszlai, he's brought in Gravenberch, like McAllister.
They all look class, and I didn't expect their midfield transplant to take so quick. I didn't know how good Szoboszlai was. I knew McAllister would be good. I still think he's kind of probably been out of
he's
all
the weakest one, I think.
Maybe, well, maybe Endo, but he's kind of been
not
more
even
of
clue.
It.
Sorry, I wasn't talking
here. Yeah, but you know what I mean. He's kind of on the fringe. I think McAllister has been unbelievable. A lot of the goals that we've scored,
Szoboszlai,
McAllister. I think Szoboszlai has been the best. But I think McAllister. But like, even like, well, maybe unbelievable.
He's been good.
Too much.
But he's like, kind of been the Henderson.
It's not his favourite position at all. But he's won, like, he won the ball back in the box to release Darwin when he assisted Salah against Everton. It was the same in the match at the weekend. He won the ball back midfield, played a lovely pass in Salah to Darwin and then Jota and all this. So, like, he's definitely doing the right things, but
I don't know. But, like, if you have him sitting there and he's doing that, like,
he's doing the job.
I was kind of thinking, like, for Fulham, this is the last thing we'll say. Like, Fulham at the weekend, I don't know how we get a result. Do you put Bruno in a little bit deeper? Like, maybe stick McTominay closer to Hoyland.
Stick McTominay up front, man.
I mean,
that's what you want to be doing.
I mean, I love Hoyland, but, like, you're not doing anything with him. Like, you're not crossing the ball. You're not getting it to him. But, like, he works really hard. He's big. He's strong.
Yeah.
You're big. You're blonde.
I was just thinking that.
You're going to say that about me? I don't know. Like, I was reading a thing. It was like, United's November should say them. And I was, like, looking at it. It's like Fulham away. Copenhagen away. Like,
it's fun, isn't it?
It is great. Huh? We love football.
Well, listen.
Shall we?
Enough of that.
Yeah. And what about this?
And some of this.
Have you seen the group chat? They're doing it again tonight.
No.
Please. It's my mum's Remembrance Day. I just want to forget about it.
Who's up?
I'll do it.
Cannot go for more than 90 seconds. Am I clear?
What happens after 90 seconds?
Don't want to stay. Light the candle to open the door. Blow it out to close it. Put your hand on it. Now say, talk to me.
Talk to me.
That was the trailer for 2023's
Ooh, look at us.
Talk to Me, an A24 movie. Andy, care to guess the budget on this bad boy?
Sure. I'm going to say it's a low budget.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the budget was $2
million. 4.5.
Ooh, okay.
You're not within your 10.
No, okay.
Box office opening.
I would say, is this like domestic in Australia? Or?
No, this is US.
Okay. 750,000.
10.4 million. You're hanging on by a thread.
Oh, no.
Domestic total?
Domestic total? Well, there's only...
That was the opening was 10 million.
And when was the opening? Like last month?
No, it was like during the summer.
Okay.
Like it's not in cinemas anymore.
20 million.
48.3.
Whoa. It's still great.
Worldwide total?
85.
90.5 million.
Oh, am I just down by 0.5?
I give you. I like your face. I'll give it to you. Rotten Tomatoes.
Critics, I would say 87.
94.
Okay. Audience,
mm-hmm.
90.
82.
Ooh, okay.
So you're swinging and a miss on both counts there.
I'm impressed that you've even got the numbers, to be honest, for this.
One is a lot easier. Newer stuff is easier, right, to be honest. Right. Like, when it's something like indie and a few years old, it can be quite hard to source it.
Maybe we should take those off the...
Never! This is 824's highest grossing horror film with... 48 million domestic, surpassing...
What other horrors do they have?
Surpassing Hereditary with 44 million.
Ooh, that's probably my favourite horror.
Of all time?
Of all time, I think so.
Man, you're crazy.
I loved it.
You're crazy.
I loved the shit out of
Hereditary. It's a great movie.
In terms of horror, like that was the one that made me the most like, whoa.
Yeah, a few moments. Oh, that pole. Anyway, directors Danny and Michael, now I'm going to butcher this, Philippou, were best known for their YouTube channel, Raka Raka. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Which has amassed over, now get ready for this. This is correct, with a B, 1.17 billion views.
Whoa.
They like do like filmmaking stuff in Australia.
Like in total, like, all their things? Yeah,
1.17 billion.
Whoa.
I think they have like something like 7 million subscribers.
Wow.
I don't know how much. Is that big on a YouTube
7
channel?
Million?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Big.
Okay. And, you know.
It's not Mr. Beast or something, but it's, you know.
What's he got?
200 million.
Oh, what a prick.
He's actually a great guy.
Yeah, he's a phony.
He's so phony. No,
what's this about him, Andy?
No, he's not like that.
I'm buying a town for all my people to come live in.
No, he's
and
a good
it's
guy.
Definitely not a cult. Look at me. He's like the guy at a Superbad. I'm a nice guy.
Mr. Beast.
I have a warrant out for a non-violent crime.
Totally non-violent,
yeah,
crime.
Non-violent crime.
Mr. Beast is the sort. If there's a new Mr. Beast video, me and Joni are watching it that day.
He's the guy that like did the Squid Game.
It's like a big game show now, Squid Game thing.
Yeah, he did the Squid Game reenactment. Like missed the point of the show completely. Did he?
What? It was for fun. Like, you know, it's not like
the whole thing is a critique on capitalism, Andy.
I don't. Well, that goes over my head. Sorry.
Okay, the film had its world premiere at Sundance Film Festival's 2023 as part of its midnight lineup.
Ooh.
The reaction was so positive that it sparked a bidding war between studios. A24 eventually beat out Universal for the American rights with a figure to believed to be in the high seven figures.
Whoa.
So
I feel like a movie benefits from having the A24 tag.
Sure does.
You know what I mean?
Well, they've cultivated this brand.
Yeah.
You know, that
like they rarely miss, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, would you agree? I mean, in what I've seen, anyway.
Any A24 movie, I'd be like...
Yeah, there's something.
The seal of approval.
Yeah.
There's one I watched called Men, which was not very good.
Oh.
But I was intrigued to try it because it was the guy who had done What was the one with Annihilation with Natalie Portman?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, so Alex Garland and he'd done Ex Machina. And I was like, put that with A24 together.
Mm, it should work.
Yeah. Didn't work. It was
Annihilation
weird.
Was okay, I thought.
Annihilation was good. I thought it was really good.
That was like the women.
Yeah, they went into the sphere and all this.
That was good. I liked it. Yeah.
I thought it was okay. Good. Clones and stuff. Yeah. The Filmfools have already shot a prequel to this film, which is the backstory of Duckett and how he came into the possession of the hand.
They've already shot it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's planned to be shown via Screen Life storytelling. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's told through the lens of mobile phone video and social media clips. So it's all that. Mm-hmm. And A24 has officially greenlit a sequel called Talk to Me with the Filipinos returning to direct. And here's a load of bollocks, I'll say right now.
Please.
Kuwait banned the movie from being a theatrical release because it features actor Zoe Tarax, I might be butchering that name, who is a transgender actor. So they played the one who had the hand.
Oh, right,
Haley,
okay.
Haley, I think her name was.
Yeah, yeah.
The Kuwaiti government claimed it was doing it to protect public ethics and social traditions. Yeah, exactly.
So
very cool.
Forgive my ignorance, but was she born a man or born a woman? Do you
know? They were born... Yeah, because very, very important to get these pronouns. Yeah. They were born a woman that is transitioning to... man, I think. Masculine.
Oh, I like the way you said they as well. Trans masculine. Very on the nose, on the ball, shall I say.
I think they have said they're non-binary as well. I'm trying, you know. I'm trying here.
I would not have known.
It's like that scene out of fucking, whatchamacallit, the Spike Lee joint, and he's standing on the landmine. The Five yeah, Bloods.
The Five Bloods.
Get me off this landmine.
You're on an island.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to dig in?
I would love to.
Yeah, hear me.
I loved it. I thought it was brilliant. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. Me and Kerry both watched it, enjoyed it. And even, how's this? She even texted me this morning. One, she very rarely texts me when I'm at work. To say, that was a great movie. I haven't stopped thinking about it. And I've said, you know what? Me too. She's like, and she said, I hope they, and there's loads of scope for a sequel. She'll be delighted to hear.
Apparently
about.
They dropped loads of bits in to like for sequels.
I thought it was really well done. Mm. I had no idea of the A24 association, but it makes sense now because they do things a bit different.
Good shit.
And I wasn't sure because like we got a message from a listener on Instagram.
Shane, you're out there, buddy.
Shane, you're dead wrong. he's like with this fucking shite that he's recommended or something. Now we hadn't seen the movie, we didn't know, but so I was thinking like, oh, it's very easy to make a shit horror. I was like, oh, it's gonna be shit, isn't it? But I loved it. I thought it was great.
I'm with you, man. I thought it was really, really good. Yeah, before
now,
that.
Sorry to cut right across you. Yeah. I'm just going to say before you continue, there will be spoilers.
Yes.
So if you haven't seen it and you're interested in horror and all that, I would probably recommend
go watch
pausing it.
Yeah.
And then continue. So we'll wait. You just go ahead and watch it. And but yeah, from the rest of the pod, there'll be spoilers.
It's 94 minutes. It's right there on Netflix. Just go give it a watch.
Couldn't be easier to watch.
I'm with you. I thought it was great. Gave it 4 stars on Letterboxd. Mm. Could have went higher, I think. I thought it was very effective. I thought the acting was great. I loved how the hand...
Yeah.
So the premise is, you know, you shake the hand and you say, talk to me, and then you see a dead body or a spirit, whatever you want to call
looking
it.
Looking right at you.
And then you say, I let you in, and they possess you. And you have 90 seconds, and then they blow out the candle after 90 seconds
and
remove your hand.
Pull the hand. You need someone with you to pull the hand away.
If you don't do it, they stay, apparently.
Yeah.
And the way they do it, it's like doing drugs.
Yeah.
At a party, you know
it's
what I mean?
It's basically just like doing drugs.
Because afterwards she's like, oh, that feels so good. You know, and like the whole backdrop of like it being 2 years since her mom's passing, like she... is grieving, like, of course it makes sense that you would turn to something. The fact that she says, I felt like I was a passenger in my body when this was happening.
Yeah.
Like, that's
very druggy. Very,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And I like the fact that it's very, like, it's very modern, like, you know, with the whole, like, it's like a trend that she's seeing on their phones.
They're doing it tonight, like, look.
Yeah, like, oh, they're faking it and all this sort of stuff. I also, I love the fact that it starts with a bang. It starts where you're like, oh, what's happening here? Like, you know.
So the start of it is, there's some guy looking for his brother in a party.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, he's freaking out in there. He's off his head or whatever. And his brother breaks down the door. And the way he breaks down the door, the
visceral,
the door just doesn't, like, fall off its hinge. It's like,
he has to,
like,
break it.
Yeah. And his brother is, like, kind of talking gibberish. So it does look like he's having a bad trip or something like that. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, they're walking through a kitchen and the brother, Duckett, has the knife in his hand and, like, stabs his brother in the chest and then, like, stabs himself in the head.
In the head.
But, like, what for me is, like, because the brother's like, stop filming. Yeah. Stop filming. And then, like, even after he stabs the brother, like, some of them leg it away, there's other people still filming.
Yeah, yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
that's so true to life.
That's what,
like,
it would be.
You ever see stuff online, you're like, when I see some crazy clips online, I'm like, why are people still filming this?
I know.
Like,
oh,
what are
my
you
God.
Doing? Like,
the amount. It's like, help them.
Yeah, or, like, get out of there. Like, it's dangerous.
It did, you know, a lot. Like I was saying, it's so easy to make a bad horror. And I think they got, you need good acting. And you don't even need great acting, but you need good acting and you need good dialogue. So many horrors, I think, are let down by the dialogue or, like,
very real dialogue.
Yeah, and, like, I don't, in fact, Terry, I have curated my do's and don'ts for making a good horror, right?
Oh, okay.
If you may indulge me. Okay? So these are my rules for a good horror movie. Okay. So when it comes to the spooky thing, less is more. Mm-hmm. So if you can't make it look good, don't show it.
Yeah.
Your brain will think
and
of worse
shit. And
they
do a great job of that.
And I tell you, do you know what I love as well? They don't give you, like, the cheap. It's not like a cheap jump scare. And I'll get onto that, right? So first of all, start with a bang, which they do in this.
Sure, that should be number one.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay. Number three, the jump scares. Okay. This is the sign of a cheap-ass horror. One is when the music just swells, and then the worst one are the fake-out jump scares, where it's like, boo, you asshole.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, drives me fucking mad.
It can be, if it's done well, though.
No, I hate it, Terry. Okay, I hate it. It's like when horror movies end, where I'm like, you know, you see the thing at the end, I'm like, don't look at camera. Don't look at camera. It's like, ruined. So they didn't resort to that cheap shit. And I think, for me, right, disturbing beats a fright. You know what I mean? So instead of, like, it being,
I'm with you.
Blah, there was a scene in it where it's like she's in a room and she's looking and you see there's already something sitting there, but you don't see that it's
just
sitting
comes
there.
Out of the shadows,
and it's like, only when it moves, you're like, oh, that's a fucking person. Yeah. Like, you know, like, and it's not like a big bleh. It's like, just
slithering,
like,
towards
it just kind of starts starts getting up and walking. Like, oh, fuck, that was a thing the whole time sitting there, but you wouldn't have known, sort of, like, you know, going on.
And
I love
that
shit.
That scene in particular is like, you know, she's seeing that this spirit and starts sucking on, like, the toes of a boy that is in her room, that the two of them are sharing a bed platonically.
Yeah.
And she's like, wake up, Daniel, wake up, wake up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, Daniel wakes up and it turns out it's her sucking on the... I thought that was fucking deadly.
So
because
well.
The whole thing, what happens is Mia, the main character, she stays a little bit over the 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. She can't...
They can't rip the thing off her.
But she kind of becomes addicted to doing it. She wants to do it again the next night. And they do a great scene of, like, when everybody's doing it. It is like a party. It's the most fun scene in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, you know, they're smoking a joint through the hand and people are doing it. They're all having a great time. And Mia's best friend's little brother wants to do it. And the best friend says, no, can't do it. And whatever happens, she leaves. She gets a bit angry and leaves. But then Mia says, okay, you can do it for 40 seconds or 50 seconds. And then it all goes tits up and he starts going fucking mental.
That was one of the best scenes in the movie, I thought. Where he starts bashing his head off the table.
Trying to peel his eyeball out. Like, and, like, at one point, he's, like, going to, like, smash his head off the ground or whatever, and his sister comes in, and like she, you're like, oh, this is how he's going to kill himself.
Yeah, yeah.
She puts the hand down, and he breaks her hand.
Yeah, yeah.
But like he's in a coma then, essentially. But they've kind of broken the rules at this stage. It's seen that Mia keeps seeing her mom everywhere.
Yeah. And now, so I have two
qualms, provisos,
few quid pro quos.
Yeah.
One was, there was a, in the sort of compilation where they're all having fun at the party, they just got to break into song or something. You know, like there's like,
well, no,
singing.
Because she's possessed by a French spirit.
Yeah, I just kind of thought that was a little bit.
I liked it. I thought it was good. A great, great performance by the girl doing it. She's singing in French.
Yeah, yeah.
And like,
so I thought that was, you know, that was all right. And then it's like, just, it was just more sort of for, you know, when she sees her mom throughout it, clearly, like, you know, like the demonized.
The mom has killed herself.
Yeah, and she's desperate to see her mom again.
By accident, apparently. Yeah. But like, and not
then,
really.
When she sees her then, like, through this thing, it's like, I mean, it's clearly showing her what she wants to see, yeah, you know, and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, like, even if that happened to me, and I'm like, and I see my mom looking all demonized, I'm like,
it's not demonized, it's dead body.
Yeah, but like, it's very like, just, you know, it's like, that's this is clearly not.
Well, what do you expect it to be? Like a halo?
Well, if my mom's telling me, like, you have to kill this person.
But the whole thing is,
like, I'm starting to suspect something's up here.
Well, no, she says that after she sees how much pain that Riley is, because there's a great scene where they're like, I don't think we blew out the candle for Riley.
Yeah.
And that's why he's so fucked up. So she goes back to the hospital and she's trying to, like, she's saying, talk to him.
Yeah.
And that's not working. He's in a coma. He can't say it. So she's like, I'll go back in and see if I can see him. And she says, talk to me. And the little girl is there.
Yeah.
Which is fucking
freaky.
And then the little girl says, I let you in.
Yeah.
And she's dragged to the fucking demon underworld. Which I think is a mind fuck as well, because I don't think that's actually happening to Riley.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think any of that is happening.
But
it's enough to make her
100%
do what they need her to do.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, because one of them says, they're in us. So I think they get our memories. So that's why the mom, because
she keeps hearing scratches on different doors throughout it and all this, because it's kind of like the demon or whatever is fucking with her, you know.
And they have a lovely moment with the dad, because her and the dad, like, the first shot of the dad is out of focus.
Yeah.
You can't hear what he's saying because she's running the tap. So she's clearly disconnected from her dad.
Mm.
And the dad has a lovely moment where he says, here's the note. I shouldn't have hidden this from you. It's just mom's suicide note. And she's like, no, like, mom told me that, you know, she would never have left me on purpose or whatever. And he's like, no, this is real or whatever. And then she goes into her room, and the mom appears and is like, that's not your dad.
Yeah.
You know? And then she sees a monster version of her dad trying to kill her.
Yeah.
The dad is still sitting in the living room.
Yeah, yeah.
She's screaming her head off. He runs into the room, and then, like, she stabs her dad, actually.
As the dad hears her screaming. Like, there's actually
it's like
no
she's
one there.
Having a fit.
Yeah.
And then she,
like,
stabs her dad with a scissor. I was like, that's fucking perfect.
Yeah, it was great.
And it kind of got me thinking, like, why isn't there any horror movies where the dad is the hero? That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
The dad being the hero. I mean, there's one. Hills Have Eyes, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, there's no dad representation.
I find it so refreshing, because, like, I seen a list recently of, like, the top horrors or the scariest horrors according to, like, heart rate or something like that. I don't know what it was. But, like, all the ones, like, Sinister, Conjuring, all those sort of ones were near the top.
And never seen any of them.
Well, in a way, you have. That's the thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I can't even distinguish now if I've seen them, because a lot of them, they're so formulaic. It's the same stuff, you know, like, some of them would have good moments, but movies like Hereditary and like this, and like even Oculus, like we were talking about last week, I know they may not be like the top, but there's something, or It Follows or something, you know, like.
I only had that on the other day. And
Was that A24 as well?
I think so. And they're making a sequel called They Follow.
Hello.
But you're talking about Disturbing.
Yeah.
The bit that, like, I only switched onto it was the bit where it's like, she runs up to her bedroom and she's like, locks herself in. It's like, there's nobody out here. Let me, it's your friend. Let me in. I was like, okay, great. And then like the big tall, it's not a jump scare.
In
It Follows.
Yeah, yeah,
the big tall guy just like comes in.
He's just walking fast in.
Like, it's not a jump scare, but it's just like so like unnerving. Like you're like, what the fuck?
I find that so much more thrilling. Yeah. That's why I'm there for horror.
Yeah, yeah.
Is for those like
thrilled.
If a horror movie can make me go like it did yesterday, like in the bedroom thing where the thing's in the corner.
What it's the like, fuck?
Yeah, where you're just like, whoa, yeah. You know, yeah. Like I never do that, or you know, yeah. Like. But I feel like so many resort to those sort of cheap like bleh, that I'm just like.
And it stuck the landing. I love the.
That ending. Was my last point on good horror. Stick the landing. Don't the wheels can so easily fall off a horror the last 20 minutes where you're like, I thought it was great. The ending was ridiculous. Yeah, yeah. You know, like how many times have you said that?
But like in this one, I was like, she can't be the hero really because of her behavior.
Yeah,
she's become unhinged.
Yeah,
you know, and she's not herself, and like. She essentially, like you're saying, her mom is telling her to like set Riley free.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's in too much pain, blah, blah, blah. So she goes to the hospital to do that. Can't bring herself to hit him with the scissors.
Yeah.
But then she sees a kangaroo, which she saw earlier on in the movie, that was like hit by a car that was dying. And then she sees the highway. So she's going to push him out onto the highway. And even at that point, I was like, she's actually going to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I interpret it, she stopped herself and threw herself in front of the car. Because I was listening to a podcast about it and they were like, oh, like the sister pushed her in front of the car.
Oh, yeah, no, I thought it was her.
I thought so. But then she gets up and she's kind of walking around and you're like, oh, she's okay.
Yeah.
And then, but nobody's really paying attention to her.
I kind of thought at that point, like, oh, she's a ghost or something.
She's
like,
in the hospital and nobody's really paying attention to her. And then the lights all start going down. And nobody can hear her. She can't see her own reflection.
Love that shit.
And then all she sees is this like little orange glow.
Yeah.
And she keeps going towards it. And then there's a hand there.
Yeah.
And it's the same fucking hand that like has made its way to, who knows how long time has gone.
Yeah.
It's made its way to Greece. People speaking in Greek. And then they say,
talk to me or
whatever. I'll let you in.
Yeah.
And then it fucking ends. Yeah. And like, yeah.
It was so satisfying, to be honest. And I was watching it. I was like, even after we were watching something after it, I was saying to Kerry, I'm like, I feel satisfied after that. Like,
give me a cigarette.
It really, it stuck the landing. Great start. Didn't let up. It was 90, nice tight 90 minutes. And it was original. And
what are you going to give it?
I would give it I'd give it a 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to give it as well. Yeah. Like, it's really, really, really good.
Yeah, very. I really enjoyed it from start to finish.
Not transformative.
No,
but like you say, it's hard. Horror is a tough one.
Horror is, you know, like the thing is though, like, is it hard or are people just not doing it? You know what I mean?
But it's a genre that makes a lot of money anyway. So like,
why isn't someone like Christopher Nolan or something? Or some huge director just doing...
Jordan Peele.
Yeah, okay.
You know, he's the new
guy.
These
are different.
He's the new horror guy. His is like a social horror or whatever.
Yeah. But I do.
Who would you give the Ed Harris Award to?
I mean, the main character probably...
I think Mia.
No one blew me away acting-wise, but no one...
I thought she was great.
I didn't think
and
there
you
was...
know what? I thought the little guy was great.
Yeah, he was good, yeah.
Yeah, especially when he was possessed, like.
They were good enough that it didn't take me out of it. You know what I mean?
I think your one Mia is going to be a star.
Okay.
I think she's going to be really... Sophie or Sophia something. I think she's going to be really... Because especially when she was possessed.
Yeah,
like,
she was great there.
The line reading. Oh, it was like... When they're like, they want you to looking right at the little guy. I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
That's my Daniel Plainview line reading award there. Should we get our plugs in?
Please. You can find us on Instagram at What's So Great About Pod. You can find us on Twitter if you wish. I don't know. I may retire the Twitter part.
Never. Come on. Just start posting the links there again. You'll see. All right. Something could happen.
Twitter's your baby now.
I just do the sometimes occasional gifts.
You can find us there anyway at WSGA Pod. Where else can they find us there?
Well, if you so choose, you can head on over behind the paywall. And, you know, give us an old €5 donation. You get access to plenty of our back catalogue. You get stuff from our original miniseries. Excuse me. Oh, what's so great about the Jesus MCU? Christ. What's so great about 90s action? What's so great about Ryan Gosling? What's so great about Big Willy's flops, a.k.a. Will Smith's bad movies? You also get access to tons of our one-off episodes, a bunch of top fives. Me and Andy did a couple of solo casts because we couldn't get our schedules going.
That's how much we care about the patrons.
I mean, mine is just, you know, stream of consciousness talking about movies.
It's good.
And stuff.
I really enjoyed it.
But we've done our Perfect Day, Dream Festivals. We pitch movies to each other. There's a bunch of great stuff there. It's a good time.
It's a great time.
Come take our hand and join us.
Let us in.
Yeah, please.
Your bank accounts.
But if you can't seem to swing the old $5 you do,
you got problems.
Yeah. Well, you can do me another favor. Now, Andy, in this movie, they take the hand which has five fingers on it. Well, four and a thumb. Well, you can give me a 5-star review.
He's back.
Yeah, baby. Which literally right there. Just went for it. Shot my shot. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever they call it these days, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. You know, get us back in the chart and keep you guys back in our hearts. That's about it, really. Get me over on personal socials. The Boy Toner on Twitter, TerryToner22 on Instagram.
That's correct.
Andy, you can find him on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm going to be going back to my YouTube stuff next week. So if you like Liverpool, or even if you don't, check it out. Give us a sub. And you can find me at Andy Cantwell on everything else.
Woo! Next week.
What are we doing next week, Terry?
Keeping a horror.
Oh.
John Carpenter, In the Mouth of Madness. Okay. Starring Jurassic Park's Sam Neill. Okay. You like freaky horror shit.
I do.
You're going to like this.
Okay.
We'll keep the good times rolling.
Is it on any streaming service?
No.
Motherfucker.
Sorry.
All right.
This is one I wanted to get on because it's a 90-minute or so, 100-minute, but it's fucking dead.
100-minute?
Under 100 minutes. Oh, yeah. Okay, under 100 minutes. Okay. But it's fucking deadly, and I think you'll really like it.
Okay, great. Yeah? I look forward to it.
Boom. Otherwise, thanks for listening, and
keep watching the skies.
Sure. Hold you, you got me going crazy. Turn me on, let me jump. We should totally start our boy band that we've been talking about for.
Hell yeah.